Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from The Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.
Hello, I am Anderson Cowan, and I have got a movie to make, and this is Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie. Week 10 of 36 weeks, and today on the program, I have a... They're always special guests. I'm never going to have a non-special guest on this radio program, but this is somebody I've been talking about for a while, Robert Jarosinski. I hate to rank my producers, but at this given moment with this particular project, Robert's probably my most active producer as far as doing producer-like activities and coming to the table with ideas that producers like to have if they're good producers. And so far, Robert, you have proven to be a very good producer, and I'm excited to have the people meet you and hear about what you do and what you've been doing for the project. So welcome to the program, Robert.
Thank you. It's an honor, and I appreciate the prelude there. Just to be in that grouping is awesome. You've got a really great group of folks supporting this project.
Got a good team. And good team.
Yeah, so just happy to be mentioned amongst them.
You know how lucky I am to be in this position with this project is the people that have given money to the project to make it actually happen so far have been great team members as well, especially on those producers meetings, and they have great ideas and like they're part of the team. Not only are they funding it, but they're also like part of the brain trust. So I wasn't sure how that was going to go when I made that one of the unique tiers where if you give $500 or more to the project, you get, you know, the special thanks and all that in the credits of the movie, but you also have access to our weekly producers meetings. And I didn't know if that was going to be more disruptive than not, or how, you know, if I was going to be turning people's mics and cameras off, which would be uncomfortable because they have given, but so far it's been, knock on some wood, so far it's been great. It's not like,
yeah, we just wrapped one, right? And aside from the monetary donations, which folks are making, which is incredible, is folks are dropping great concepts and ideas. More recently too, we had someone mention a potential cast member that
Chris Moran,
you know, was off our radar. And you know, after doing a little bit of due diligence, like, oh my gosh, yeah, this person would be perfect. Like let's go out and make an offer.
Yeah. The more brains, the better, especially when you're looking at talent pool and trying to find, you know, the right, I have my ideas. We have a lengthy list of the lead characters of who we want to target. And these are actors. A lot of them are names that you would recognize. But that's not to say that there's other names that haven't come across our plate. Chris Moran, associate producer on the project. I think he's actually technically a producer now because of the level that he gave. And then his company also gave a bunch more. Long story short, Chris has been there since the beginning. He was part of Groupers. Chris is a friend of mine now. And Chris, after our last week's meeting, he let me know. He's like, hey, I don't know if you've thought about this guy or even know who this guy is, but I watch this show and I think he'd be a real great target for Dexter in particular. The Dexter character, who is the young black actor that we need to cast. And that's going to be one of the tougher roles to cast. So little things like that are just, you know, they wouldn't happen unless we were doing it this way. So I'm really fortunate to have so many talented, smart, engaging people with ideas a part of this project. And Robert, you're on the other side of that. You have given, even though I told you not to give any money because you're giving so much of your time to this project, sweat equity. That's where I learned it was from you. You were always talking about sweat equity. And I started saying sweat equity quite a bit. A listener has, Curtis has since shamed me for using it out of the blue so much. So I'm trying to get it out of my lexicon. But why don't we talk a little bit about our relationship, how it began, and without you talking too much about, you know, Film Vault and whatnot, but you're another one of these guys that I was lucky enough to meet because of Film Vault.
Yeah, I wonder if we did like a poll of what your average listener length duration is. Like, I've been listening to you, and I can pinpoint the date because I actually started a podcast not too long after just being in love listening to you and Brian wax poetic, as is the case, and listened to you for, you know, for the last 10 years religiously, and about a year or two into listening, I was like, it just inspired me to want to have conversations about film. So my wife and I actually started kind of a he said, she said podcast. And that turned out to be, you know, somewhat successful. And we've built that into a website. And that's been lasting the last 8 years, called Alternate Ending. And that had led me down my own path of filmmaking. And thanks to you as well, off of another podcast of yours, this very here podcast, I've got a movie to make. Hearing the inside information really helped prepare me and inspire me to want to pursue my own filmmaking dreams. And January 2022, I took that step forward and met with a potential writer director. And we just picture wrapped this past Thursday as we record this on that feature. And so it's a bit of a snake. Thank you. Bit of a snake eating its own tail at this time now, as we come full circle to, you know, learning from each other now. And that's the beauty of this process.
Yeah, that sounds negative when you put it that way. I want to put it that way. I would call it synergy. And you're one of the you're a person who, I think that's probably how you are in life always, Robert, is like you see an opportunity and it's for you and you do the work and you get there and you set your sights on something. And I picked up on that pretty quickly. You had me on your podcast to promote Groupers back in the day. And then you took the next step. Speaking of, this is synergy rather than snake eating its own tail. I would call this synergy. And I've been so fortunate to meet so many talented movie loving people through the Film Vault audience. Obviously, I've met some crazy people, some insane people, some people that I don't want to have anything to do with. But I would say more often than not, the people that I have connected with through the various podcasts have been, at least the people I choose to continue to talk with, have been some of the better people in my life over the last 10 years. And now you're one of them. So you took the next step and you're out here in LA and you reached out to me and said, hey, I'd love to meet up. And I'm like, yeah, Robert, for sure. I don't pass up an excuse to drink a beer and talk movies with a listener who's been supportive. And I knew you a little bit from doing your podcast. So he's actually, guys, he's responsible for one of the negative reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. While he and his wife love the movie, their third partner, who doesn't have the guts to actually get behind a mic and talk about movies, he only writes about them in his little cave, he wrote negatively about Groupers. He's one of the few critics who just don't understand it, I think. That's what I tell myself anyway. So we're a little bit lower on the Rotten Tomatoes score, thanks to Robert. But other than that, everything has been great. So back to the story of how we first met in person, that was at a little bar that I tend to meet people from out of town at. I've met probably half a dozen people at that little bar who I've never met before. We have drinks. It's great. It's called the Chimney Sweep in North Hollywood. It's kind of usually people come out here. They stay on the west side. I live in the Valley area. So it's kind of a middle meeting point. And I'll never forget, Robert, I don't know if you realized this at the time, but we met. I didn't, you know, expect anything of it. I wasn't expecting anything out of it other than, like, you know, meet another nice listener and sharing some stories, having some drinks. And I left that meeting going, I'm going to work with that guy one day. I am absolutely going to work with that guy one day.
I'm happy I made a good impression. I remember just being starry-eyed, as many folks are who,
ridiculous,
who go to LA for the first time. It was before I had even shot a single frame. And when I say shoot, I'm a producer on the feature length film Hauntology that just wrapped. But I found myself in a position where I know now where I get the most value, and it's helping support others and helping their dreams come true. I get so jazzed hearing about other people's visions, and I get motivated to try to, like, help them come. It's a lot harder for me to have my own, I guess, dreams and goals. I end up really enjoying latching myself onto others and helping support them. And
like a remora fish.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. I don't know what that is, but
remora pictures.
It.
Yeah. No, that was the exact line, or not pretty close to the exact line, because all the conversation before and the conversation that happened after this particular line, it was one succinct line that you said to me, and you're looking me right in the eyes and you said, I like to go out and find things that filmmakers need. And I'm like, that's what I need. Because I'm not always the best at finding what I need to tell the story. And I think a lot of filmmakers and people who are trying to put things together, because I'd say 5% of it is actually creative and doing the work. And the other 95% is getting in a position where you're allowed to do the work. And that's where you and your skill set come in so valuable. And, you know, you don't give yourself enough credit. You are a creative person. I've definitely picked up on that over the last few months of working with you. Robert and I do weekly meetings. We average 3 times a month. We meet on Zoom with the other team members. And we also talk throughout the week and emails and texts. We're in constant communication now. And, you know, you're a very bright guy, but I don't think you give yourself enough credit for your creativity. Now, speaking of starry-eyed, it's still bizarre to me that people come out to LA and they're starry-eyed, because I've grew up out here, and it's just kind of like run down, and there's some good spots in it, but the idea of you going to, like, Hollywood or staying and just being like, ooh, wow, this is great, is bizarre to me. So you're starry-eyed out here, huh?
Starry-eyed just because you definitely get a sense where like this is where it happens. But I will say one of the advantages that I think that I've come into it being an outsider and not being kind of beaten down by the process is it's not, this is the way it is. This is the way it has to be. And I'm not confined by those rules because I don't know them. And so I'm able to bend or even break them in some cases. And it's led to some success. And again, not having to do it on my own behalf has really allowed me to feel more courageous in going out there and just asking, hey, why not? Why not this character, this cast member? Why not this crew member? You know, why not this location? And whatever the goal is, or whatever the dream thing is by asking, you never know what you're going to be able to achieve. And it's a simple thought process, but when you're working on your own stuff, sometimes you get a little scared.
Yeah. 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 It's funny you bring that. Well, it's not funny you bring that up, because that is probably you might be most skilled at that. And I noticed that early on is you have the ability to ask for the world without coming off like you're asking for too much, or like so many people ask for a lot. And I'm very, very sensitive to that. I never want to come off like I'm asking for too much. I cringe inside. I got the Mike Carano syndrome where I feel like I'm making people uncomfortable by asking for what I'm worth, which is a whole nother thing, but just asking for favors, all that stuff. And you're like, well, no, that's how things get done. And if they say no, but it's your ability to put it in a language and be honest about it and genuine about it. I immediately get in my head, especially if I'm asking for myself or my own project, that like, oh my God, they're going to think that I'm asking for too much, or that my project's not good enough, or that I'm one of these people who doesn't even have a project and I'm just trying to play the part. All the worst, like the ego, the imposter syndrome, all of that stuff immediately tries to sabotage my, and that's why I'm terrible at it. I think I'm good at writing stories and telling stories and directing. I feel comfortable doing all that stuff. It's the asking I hate it. One of my favorite quotes is, it's not who's going to let me. It's who's going to stop me, you know, from Howard Roark from Fountainhead. I have that. Listener Greg sent me that hoodie. I wear it all the time because that's what I believe. It's like, I don't want to have to ask. I want to just do it. But that's not how things work. You have to ask.
Yeah. Our first AD on the project always has the famous line that it comes from that. It's whenever we're scrambling to get a shot done, it's what's stopping us, friends, like what's stopping us from doing the next shot. And it's a great question when you really stop to think about why am I not doing this thing? Usually it's an excuse, or, you know, there is no obstacle. We've put the obstacle in front of us to not be able to overcome it.
Yeah. So you're removing a lot of obstacles, and you're like, just recently we were talking with, an agent, name names, but, they kept asking me questions, and I had some answers, but they weren't liking my answers. I haven't talked to you about that yet, but how's that going? It seems like everything's kind of settled down.
Everything's good. We managed to kind of narrow it down to kind of the key points. We're going to put it in the deal. It was already points that you were comfortable with providing. So,
okay.
I think there is this feeling. Yeah, well, simplified, and like people just, it's a lack of trust in the industry. I think there's this good faith nature that kind of, again, being outside, is that we hope that people go with. But at the end of the day, people do like to have the things in writing. And so while it seemed like simple requests, I think the act of putting them on a piece of paper will make the person feel better and
more comfortable.
Paperwork is my other superpower. So when I was listening to I've Got a Movie to Make and hearing you have to deal with all of that stuff, it's like, wow, I'm actually eager to get in there and fill out forms and do those types of things. I get a weird satisfaction out of it.
Making movies really is like a piece of every single job that I can think of. I mean, I don't know if there's a job you can mention that there's not some part of that could go into some facet of movie making, and a lot of it is paperwork. And I see my wife, who's a social worker, dealing with paperwork all the time, and I'm like, yeah, I know what that's like a little bit, because I've made a movie and I did the deliverables, and I, you know, there's, so yes, one of your many superpowers and ideas too. I talk about creative side, so a little bit before we wrap this up, I want to talk about where we're at on, because people who listen closely know that today's the deadline that we gave to the first four people for the short, which is going to be a what they call proof of concept or proof of work, where you actually show something rather than just talk about it in a pitch deck. You actually show a scene, which is what we're going to try and do here. In fact, two scenes is what we're hoping to shoot for the short. This was all Robert's idea, which I mentioned last week, where he saw a crack. He saw an opportunity, which is the upcoming, most likely upcoming SAG after following WGA with the strike, and a bunch of actors, notable actors, sitting around with nothing to do suddenly, and all of their shows being paused, and them being available for the first time in, for somebody like us, ever. So we sent out offers. So far, we've had no success with any of the offers, which is not surprising. However, all of these camps, including even some of the actors themselves, know about our project now. And our project is still fairly new. There's three separate arms to this project. There's the documentary that we're producing right now in production. There's the short now that we're looking to produce. One way or the other, we're going to be doing that with A-list talent, B-list, C-list talent, or I might just get no SAG actors, and just, you know, there's a lot of very talented actors out here, and do it the same way that I did with groupers and not make it union and just shoot with what we have locally and who's available, who's looking to break in. We're going to shoot this short now, thanks to you, Robert, and thanks to your idea.
And I'm excited to see it. I think that it's a, if you've ever tried to explain what the project is verbally, it's really challenging to actually articulate it. And so I think by having the short, is really going to help dispel a lot of the kind of confusion that could come from trying to like articulate the meta aspects of the film.
Yes. 'Cause, well, that's not going to come in either on the short. The meta aspects will not be revealed in the short at all. And one of the, I'm not in love with the short right now. I like it a lot. I'm excited to do it. I'd be absolutely and totally in love if, and it still might happen, if I was able to get this in a format that would work as a story with a beginning, middle, and end. I was confident that I'd be able to do that when we first talked about this. So far, I've come up against a wall. I'm not able to make a single day shoot into a full story with what we have to work with without completely changing the story. There's no way to show this man named Ben, who's mad at his boss, and he makes a movie about his boss and then has success and then doesn't have success. There's no way to do that in a one day shoot. But we can shoot a scene which is very telling, with a lot of moving parts, a lot of representation. A lot of our Born to Act players will be a part of this. Four of the lead characters will be represented in these two scenes, and you'll get a good taste for who those characters are, what makes them tick. Yeah, so I'm Jack. So that's two of the arms, and then the third arm, obviously, is the narrative feature-length script, which is going to be made, hopefully, sometime by the end of the year or early next year. And I couldn't do it with... I don't know where I'd be, Robert, without you right now. So I should also say, Robert, I'm not going to say what your day job is, but Robert has a day job. So he's very impressive because he's able to do this with an actual job that provides for the family. He's so good at that job that he's able to do all this other stuff on top of that effectively, too. So that was a concern of mine.
Yeah, there's some question whether I'm being effective at the other job, but we'll let those folks kind of figure that decide for themselves. But hopefully, I'm managing the balance. It's not something that I look to try to do for you know, the foreseeable future. I much like you with Jillian getting a little bit of shit. Like I get some shit from Carrie. Yeah. A little bit. Just it's not that you can only be in so many places at so many times.
Yeah,
a lack of presence. With the family sometimes is the thing that's actually taking the short end right now, but hopefully I can start making some more time.
Yeah. Well, what's going to suffer? It better not be Loaded for Bear or any of your other film projects. It better be your day job that suffers that. All right.
Yep. Sounds good.
So, so just moving forward, just to recap a little bit about not everything, obviously, that just happened on the producers meeting, but we're going to continue to send out offers to some of the top end talent that, I feel very comfortable with if they were to say yes to the short and or the narrative. I'm not in a place where I'd feel comfortable giving somebody a role just because they're a face or a name, or they've been up for like Academy Awards even, if I hadn't thought of them or I can't, you know, picture them in the role. But we're going to continue to look at people that we could possibly parlay into the narrative as well. We went after our top tier guys so far, and they are all guys at this point. And now we're going to, you know, because this is public, and I feel a little bit like ill, like now it's kind of being recorded and public that, you know, we're going after second choices and third choices. That's the name of the game. That's,
you read about any movie, it's like this was their first choice, or they wanted De Niro for this, but they got this guy instead. It's all that. So it
works out the way it's supposed to. And that's what I've, you know, I'm sure when you were working on Groupers, when I've been working on my projects, is there's always other names that, you know, you might be considering, but things really do end up working out the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, obviously not always, but yeah, for the most part. Yeah. You do, like with Groupers, I can't imagine a different cast. I can't imagine it at this point. And I just want to be clear, because this is public, that anyone that we're giving offers to, for the reasons that I just stated, are only people that we really, really want. Obviously, you're going to rank them. And those of you who have multiple kids, I know you rank your kids. You all lie and you say you don't, but I know you do. So, yeah, just because we've already sent out offers and we might have heard no from that first wave, we can't blanket it. As much as I would love to just send everyone that's on our list an offer and whoever gets back to us first, that's how I like to do it. That seems fair. Whoever's most willing and able and excited about the project, let's go. Let's do this, right? It's not then you ruffle feathers and you hurt people's egos. There's so much ego. There's so many feelings to be hurt. And that's why I am so happy that I don't have to deal with any of that firsthand at this, for this stage. You are on top of that, Robert, and I love it.
It's my play. It's like playing a character, honestly. Like I get to be just your consigliere, I guess, an advocate. So it's a lot easier to have those tough conversations when it's not you that you're representing.
I totally understand that. And I went through the same thing with La Lucha when I was producing La Lucha, the documentary that's having some real festival success. And we're going to be seeing it's all about the education system. It's about to get distributed here soon. So real proud to have a producer credit on that and all the work that I did on that. But yeah, I was able to call people. I was calling up Oprah's people and saying, hey, give us an interview. I get no problems at all, because it wasn't, you know, I was attached to it, but it wasn't my baby. Right. So it's a lot harder when you're like, hey, look at my kid, as opposed to, hey, look at my friend's kid. Okay, so as a final update, three of the four that we gave offers to have said no. One of them, we gave an extended week, an extra week to them, and you never know. I think that this person would say yes if it was completely up to them. It's a big name. I'm not going to say their name. I'm not going to say names until we actually get somebody on this here feed. But yeah, anything else? Am I missing anything?
Let's make this movie. That's all. I'm so pumped about it. Thank you again for the opportunity to be part of it. For those who, you know, ever get a chance to just, I was one of the lucky few who got to go out to Born to Act and witness it firsthand, and just extremely moving. I think about the experience often, and I look forward to when I, you know, hopefully rejoin you out there in August, September for the short, have another chance to spend some time with the community.
Yeah. I should have probably led with that, because I talked about on your behalf, and I said how much it affected you when you were there, you and your wife and Chris Moran, who came. But now that I got you on the program, I guess you just kind of summed it up. But like, it was real encouraging to see you and your wife and Chris that day, that you guys all just by coincidence all showed up the same day to watch one of the classes. And I could see it in your eyes. There was no acting. You guys weren't lying. Like, you were completely touched by it the same way that I am week in, week out. And I'm seeing the same thing with my buddy Mike Carano. Like, he's moved by these guys and what they're doing, and, you know, these kids and how committed they are and how well the class is run. And like, it's real nice to know that it's not just me being Pabby, which is, an after disaster term. So before we go, I always forget to do this, and I should have, I should always lead with this, but loadedforbeardoc.com is where you go, where you can see the pitch deck that Robert and Catherine helped me put together. More than helped. You guys pretty much built it yourselves. It's where you can see the budget. You can see all sorts of things. It's also where you can contribute and become a part of it yourselves. Most recent contributors who I'd like to give thanks to are Jed Jesse. Thank you for your donation. Jason Engelbertenson. I hope I said that right. Jason Engelbertenson, John Gower, and Michael Kerr just 6 hours ago gave a nice chunk. So thank you to all of you very, very much. And until next time, Robert, one more thing, time where people can find you.
Yeah, you can find all of my movie projects at umbrellapictures.com. The latest feature is Hauntology Movie, or Hauntology. You can follow that at hauntologymovie.com. And our podcast, if you're looking for a little, I'm not on it anymore, but my wife still keeps the lights on. That's at alternateending.com. Thanks, Anderson. Thanks, everyone.
Alternateending.com. All right, let's make this movie. Talk to you guys week 11. Thanks for following along.